PlayStation has decided that nobody needs physical games anymore due to innovation. Plus, PlayStation has closed the digital stores that sold older games due to innovation. Tonight is July 5th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
PlayStation is putting the no in innovation. There it is. There's the whole show. We can just play the end credits now and just go right into them. We've done the whole show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another innovative edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us here on this Sunday night, where, at least where I am, the thunderstorms are rolling in, it's like it's the summer in the South where I'm at. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to take this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But this is a podcast. I do understand that. So you can join our Discord server throughout the week and talk about the things we're going to talk about here and get your voice heard. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can go for that. And if you went over there, you would have seen that unfortunately Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is not going to be going on tonight. This was a very last minute call. They tried to make it work. I was told like 45 minutes ago, so it was definitely not something that was planned earlier in the day. The way that Jamie Dark Sakura put it on socials and in the Discord, so this is exactly what I'm going to read, is having a flare-up of a chronic condition, which makes it really difficult to function effectively. And so all I will say is I hope that you're taking care of yourself, Jamie. If we get better soon, OLR2DX will be back next week, and we will all be here for that. So we're going to be doing some marbles after the stream just for a little bit. Have some fun. We haven't done some marbles in a while, but I am still here. So I will go ahead and get the sports out of the way. People who are who listened last week probably heard me talk a little bit about some of the sports that are going on that I've been caring about. And I said, well, I may or may not have something. And people who are eagle-eyed on the Twitch stream have seen that instead of four souvenir cups next to me, I have five, because I did, in fact, get a ticket to the round of 32 between DR Congo in England. That morning, it was like $200 below face value. I was able to just, I bought the ticket, and like 15 minutes later, I was on the train going downtown to it. I do not think that's going to happen again. Because the tickets aren't going to get that low. And the next match that is here in Atlanta is Argentina versus Egypt. And that is two superstars, one on each side, that are playing against each other, I believe, for maybe the first time. Those tickets are not going to get anywhere below $1,000. And that is well above my price range. Plus, I've already seen Argentina play in person. I'm sure there's many of the fans that are nice. I didn't run into many of them when I actually attended an Argentina match. Last year? When was Copa America? It was the Copa America, Argentina versus Canada. I think it might have been last year or the year before. What is time? So I am not too keen on getting that back. So I will be watching that one from home on TV like everybody else. I think, it might have been 2024. Thanks, Deft. Deft is here because Mexico versus England is, it was supposed to kick off now, and they've got thunderstorms down in Mexico City, so it's being delayed an hour. I have Irish ancestry. And my mother's maiden name, which I'm not going to repeat here because it's a security question. But it is, you hear it and you're like, oh yeah, that's Irish. It's not coming home. It should not come home. I was there excited to see Congo make it not come home, and then I had to listen to an entire stadium sing Wonderwall. So that was the whole thing. Anyway, let us stop talking about sports. Pod culture, somebody tell pod culture to unmute because the sports talk is over. We are now going to talk about video games. So let us get into the video game news. There is a big story that I wanted to talk about, but I also, this was the story I wanted to talk about at the beginning of the week before we learned about the big stuff, because there is something that I want to emphasize in this story before we get to the PlayStation stuff, because there's a little bit of nuance here that some people are missing. So we're going to talk about the Steam Machine for just a little bit. Steam Machine, which, by the way, sold out, wait list. Like, apparently they're charging enough money. People are buying it. I didn't. I am not buying it, but I do know people that are, and that's great. But I did not get it. But PC Gamer reports that if there was this accessory that you wanted that had been teased for months, you're not going to get it. So back in November 2025, dBrand, you know we're in for a roller coaster, right, when you hear the word dBrand, right, teased a Portal Companion Cube case for the Steam Machine, and while the initial render wasn't great, the underlying idea was so good that PC Gamer hardware editor Andy Esner declared, you have to make it now, no takesy-backsies. Well, other Andy, because I guess the author of this article was Andy, there are takesy-backsies, as dBrand has pulled the plug and scrubbed all trace of its existence from the internet. So, the reason for the sudden turnabout is quite simple. dBrand did not have Valve's permission. So they said in a statement on Reddit, because all good PR is done in a Reddit thread. Like I said, this is dBrand. You know you're in for a ride. Quote, on November 12th, 2025, the day the Steam Machine was announced, we put up a concept render and sign-up page to see if anybody would be interested in a companion cube enclosure. It went moderately viral and went with over 15,000 people signing up to be notified in the first day. In the months that followed, we built the idea into something real without ever asking Valve if we could. We're going to regret that decision for a very long time. Unquote. So they said that they put more than 1,000 hours into engineering the project, with multiple redesigns and sets of injection tools involved and created to support it, and even rented out a university campus to film the cube's launch video. They said, quote, by the end, we were losing money on every $99 poverty cube sold, but it didn't matter. This turned into a passion project for the entire organization, unquote. Essentially, what then they go into is that the moment they went up on sale, Valve basically sent a cease and desist. Valve didn't say anything until it went up for sale, which I want to point out is a good thing, because Valve shouldn't be going after every person that puts up a render of something of their IP, because then we would be like, oh, Valve's lawyers, you know, like how Nintendo would, right? They couldn't take legal action until money was changing hands. And up until this point, no money had changed hands. So Valve was kind of sitting back and maybe waiting for dBrand to be like, hey, like, let's do this. Let's do something together. And dBrand never did that. So then they got the cease and desist. And then dBrand said, well, what about a second chance? What about now we have a partnership? Because they believe that it is better to ask forgiveness than permission. They went ahead and did all of the R&D for it. They had all the manufacturing. They did all the marketing. They did all that stuff. And then they were hoping, well, Valve would be like, okay, cool. So dBrand does try to defend Valve, saying Valve was direct, fair, and respectful throughout. dBrand said the rejection was a fair answer, given the backwards approach of building first and asking permission later that it had initially taken. And DBrand also said that, quote, it goes without saying, but we'll say it regardless. Valve didn't do anything wrong here. They built a game franchise a lot of people love, and they alone get to decide how it's used, unquote. And that is the thing I want to bring up, because some people have said that, you know, Valve is so open. Why aren't they allowing people to make cases for the Steam machine? Like, they're going to release or they may have already released the 3D files to make the front plate. Why are they doing this? And unlike Sony, that was upset at DBrand for making the replaceable PS5 plates, Valve doesn't care if DBrand is making Steam Machine cases. That is not what the cease and desist is for. It is because DBrand said, we are going to sell you the infamous companion cube from the hit video game series Portal as a Steam Machine case. And that is what Valve had the issue with. Not the fact that it was a Steam Machine case. They're fine with the Steam Machine case. They're a very open company. You can do that. But they were profiting off of Portal without having a license, because Valve absolutely will whore out the Portal license. There is both a virtual pinball table for it and an actual physical one made by Multimorphic. So you can Pinball Effects 2. I don't think it ever made it to the current Pinball Effects. I don't think it carried over. I can't remember. It might have. But Pinball Effects 2 or Pinball Effects 3 had Portal. It also had like a Half-Life table. It had a Valve pack. And then there's also a separate pinball that is done by Multimorphic that is Portal. Portal was in Lego Dimensions. They had, and you could get a little Portal thing, RIP Lego Dimensions. So Valve is absolutely keen on whoring out Portal. But DBrand didn't do that. DBrand does this a lot, as Sharon Amat says. They played this game showing off their Switch 2 case before the Switch 2 was even announced, showed as a nah, we know what the Switch 2 looks like. And Podcoach says, I'm not unconvinced this isn't some weird publicity stunt by DBrand. It's all publicity stunts. I mean, it is. We only talk about DBrand when they get in trouble with the big people, with the big boys, right? I mean, it's a shame that they spent all that money on this, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they're lying about that. Maybe all they did was, you know, made something. And now the thing is, like, these do exist in the wild. There was a Steam Machine review that I watched on YouTube to determine if I wanted to spend the money, and I determined I did not want to spend the money on a Steam Machine. But they had the companion cube. Like, they had the DBrand companion cube, and they showed it off right there. Like, mostly they actually, like, took the Steam Machine off of the set and just put the companion cube there. So, like, they were doing, like, all this marketing for it. And, you know, there were a lot of tech channels that did that. And you know, now we're talking about DBrand. But, like, I am not a fan of it's better to ask forgiveness than ask permission when it comes to, you know, legal matters or, you know, getting copyright strikes or anything like that, because you don't get forgiveness from the law. And Valve has a right to protect their brand. And had DBrand maybe gone to Valve before, or maybe if DBrand even did it after they got they put the initial page up and got like 15,000 signups or whatever, then gone to Valve, but like, look how many people are interested in this. Then maybe it would have been a different situation. But also DBrand has a reputation, and maybe Valve would have said no anyway. And Valve probably would have said yes to somebody else. Or Valve might be making a companion cube for themselves. Like, they may be doing it themselves, and they don't want DBrand coming in on that. So you never know. DBrand could absolutely just make something else using all this knowledge that they got that maybe doesn't infringe on somebody's intellectual property. Or that maybe this was not a real thing, and they're just trying to sell whatever else they sell, which I don't even know what else they sell. I know they do something in the gaming industry, and I know that they're still around, and I know that they do actually make sales, and I do know people like the company. So, but I couldn't tell you what the other stuff they make, because the only thing I hear about is the times they get cease and desist. As Jernamat says, they need a PR team, preferably an outside firm, but that would probably kill the DBrand brand. Like, it might be better to just go down than to, you know, have a PR firm for them. I think they are too edgy to have PR, and if once that edge comes off, the other stuff that they do sell might not be come off as edgy as they want it to. Anyway, I wanted to bring up that it was not about making Steam Machine cases, because Valve, I'm sure, is okay with people even selling Steam Machine cases. It was literally the fact that they were doing the companion cube from the hit video game series Portal, and not a 75% knockoff of the companion cube, and just being like, oh, it's a cube that's your friend. Yeah, that's a cube that with your friend that has a heart on it somewhere. Anyway, the big topic, the big thing that people have been talking about, we talked a little bit about this last week, but it was just one game. Now it's a whole ecosystem. So, PlayStation, we used to do this segment. I've been doing this show for like something like, you know, 21 years. And we used to do a segment back in the PS3 days, in the PlayStation 3 days, of what stupid PR thing has Sony done this week? And we could do it every single week. The stupid PR blunder that they made, the stupid decision they made. In the early days of the PlayStation 3, Sony did not have that many good ideas. They got better, obviously. But at the time, they were doing a lot of bad things. And so now, and they were doing things that were kind of like the gamers didn't like, that the consumers didn't like. And now they're doing more. And this is because of innovation. Is the way they're saying it. So on the official PlayStation blog, on the 1st, which was Wednesday, July 1st, they say, as consumer preferences and the broader entertainment industry continue to shift away from physical discs to digital, physical game disc production for all new games releasing on PlayStation consoles will be discontinued starting January of 2028. So basically a year and a half from right now. Following this date, new games will be available on PlayStation Store and at retailers in digital formats only. This transition has no impact on games that are already released or will be releasing prior to January 2028 in disc format. They say this is a natural direction from Sony Interactive Entertainment to adapt to consumer trends as the general preference for digital media significantly outpaces physical discs. This transition will enable us to align more closely with how most of our community prefers to access and play games today. We'll continue to prioritize our resources to drive innovation in how players can access games and provide choices to where players prefer to purchase new games, whether that's at retailers or PlayStation Store. We remain committed to delivering a world-class gaming experience to our fans, and we thank you for your continued support. So, this is essentially going to kill the retail market. It is going to kill the secondary market, which Sony is perfectly fine with. And it will also hurt archiving, and it will hurt preservation. And we're going to talk about all of those as we go through this. But they are not wrong about the numbers. I think it was somebody had said like 85%, which I mean, all numbers are made up, but this is probably pretty, you know, good. Said 85% of all game purchases are digital. And so it costs them money to manufacture the disc and put it in a case and then ship it to a warehouse, which ships it to retailers. That costs a lot of money. And they don't charge any different. The digital and the physical cost exactly the same to the consumer when they're new. So they are losing money on physical games because they can charge $70 for the physical game and $70 for the digital game, and the physical game is also $70. But with that, they, you know, it's the disc production, which is, you know, a couple bucks. Like the disc production and leaving, let's say it's a couple bucks. I know it's like 1 cent to get the disc itself, but like, let's say it's a couple bucks. Then the retailer gets their cut, however much that is. The wholesaler gets their cut, however much that is. So like Sony gets less money. So of course they're going to be like, oh, but everybody likes buying direct from us. And then they get it immediately. Like there's a lot of good things about this for consumers, but not everybody lives in that world. Because let me tell you this. If you wanted God of War Ragnarok today, you have two options. Or, well, you have three options. You can buy it on the PlayStation Store for $70. You can buy a new disc. You can go, let's go to GameStop. You can go to GameStop. You can get a new disc for $70. Or you could buy a pre-owned disc for $35. And if you have limited finances, which so many people, especially in America, have, you can't always afford the $70 option. And this gives you a pre-owned option. This gives you a cheaper option. That will go away. Sony says that $35 option no longer is going to exist for any games that come out after January 2028. You will pay full price and you will like it. But on the other hand, there was a comment that was made in our Discord, and I'm not going to name the person, that says, here's one of the reasons why this is a good thing. The reality, and this is from this Discord user, and I'm not going to name and shame them. Quote, the reality is there is only so much you can store on a shelf. At some point, you will have so much, you become a hoarder, and you don't have room to store anymore. So in response to that, and then I'm going to read the second part of this. In response to that, I thought that I lived and I have been told all weekend that I have freedom. That is what I have been told all weekend, is that I have freedom and I am free to hoard if I want. It is not some corporation's job to stop me from hoarding. I am from the United States of America, and I have been told all weekend this is the greatest country on earth. Hopefully, like, I know on podcasts you can't, like, see eye rolls or anything like that. But, I thought I was free to do that. But apparently this is supposed to stop me from being able to do that. This comment also continues. There is also the threat of disc rot. The discs will not last forever, so preserving them is quite a challenge. Now, here's the thing. You hear all about disc rot. You hear all about this, right? Did you know that disc rot is not as prevalent as you think? If stored correctly, CDs and DVDs and Blu-rays are supposed to last 100 years. The CDRs and the writable CDs, that's different. Those last maybe 5 years, 10 years. Like I have absolutely had disc rot on my CDRs. Absolutely 100%. But that's different. That is not a factory pressed CD. They are supposed to last, they can last up to 100 years. Any CD, ROM, or DVD that I have that doesn't play, it is not because of disc rot, it's because of scratches. So it can happen. Physics don't lie. But it's not as prevalent as you think. In fact, I talked a lot about when I got the Commodore 64 Ultimate. And I hooked up my old Commodore 64 disk drive to that Commodore 64 Ultimate. And I got all my disks that were never stored in an attic. They were always in a climate-controlled portion of either my parents' house or my house. The vast majority of them I could still read, even ones that had not been in a disk drive for literally 40 years. And those are the 5 1/4 inch magnetic, the floppy disks that were actually floppy. So it does happen. People will be able to chime up in chat. You know, Orange Wright says there were some Warner Brothers or Warner DVDs. I don't know if it was Warner Brothers or just Warner at the time, because they changed their name, Warner Communications and blah, blah, blah. Some DVDs that had rotted. And some of the DVDs in a complete series set that happened to be Warner Brothers rot and dual layer, but those are the only ones. So it does happen, and there can be problems at the factory that mean that they're not pressed as well. But if they are pressed well, and if you store them well, they shouldn't rot for close to 100 years. Definitely not in the 10 to 20 years. Podcoach says, my Atari 2600 carts that were stored in hot attics and damp basements also work just fine. May have looked like hell. Most of mine also worked. Some didn't. But yeah, most of mine also did. And, you know, if even if you store them incorrectly, that could happen. So, yeah, it's that is not an acceptable reason to say, well, no more physical games. We shouldn't have physical games. Questbuster earlier said, on one hand, I'm not entirely surprised given the story their quarterly reports have been selling investors the past few years. On the other, sad at this decision for a lot of reasons outside the feeling of owning my own disc copy. And even now, the game that's on the disc is not the game that you play. You can absolutely, for many of them, put the disc in the drive and it will have a playable version of the game. But you know there's always that day one patch. So it's already a nightmare for preservation. And a lot of times the game on the disc is not the game that you would play on day one, which sucks for people that have terrible internet because there's still that patch. A lot of places here in the greatest country in the world don't have fast internet. Those people that are in cities, they can have access to fast internet. You know what? Bandwidth caps literally are still a thing. Don't forget that here in the United States, many people still have a monthly bandwidth cap that caps both their upload and their download, usually at 1 terabyte a month. And a lot of these games are like Forza Horizon 6 was 150 gigs. That is like, you know, that's 15% of your bandwidth cap for the entire month was downloading that game. We're already having that preservation problem, which we'll talk about in a second. The industry is not doing anything about that. This is basically a play, and everybody else is going to follow suit, and we're going to be like, oh, well, you know, they're getting all the backlash. No, they're not going to change their mind because they got the numbers behind them. And unfortunately, the numbers agree with our Discord commenter that I talked about earlier, that they would much rather play digital. It's easier that way. And they have grown up in a time, especially younger people have grown up in a time of, yeah, eventually it'll go away. Like, they're like, I will shrug my shoulders and be sad and move on. And that's what they're used to. Like, they are absolutely like, oh. Like, they grew up, a lot of people especially, like, that are coming into their 20s now, grew up in a time where you subscribe to a service and you enjoyed something on that service, and then it went away from the service, and that's just the way it is. That's, you know, that music album, oh, it's no longer on the service. Oh, that's a shame. But that's just the way it is. Dark Tatsuya says, just like how Sony delisted a bunch of digital movies. Yeah. You bought them. You watched them. Yeah, they were still in your library. You could rewatch them. But now Sony delisted that, like, basically if you had bought, like, any of these movies from this catalog, which there's, like, 1,000 movies in this catalog, even though you bought them, they're gone. iTunes has done it. Kindle has done it. And that's just the way things are. So the younger generation, they're all for this. It is also interesting watching the younger generation. The reason vinyl records have come back is because having a physical manifestation of your music was such a novel concept that they started buying vinyl records again. And that's why, like, Best Buy got rid of all their DVDs. They got rid of all their movies. They got rid of all their CDs. But they brought back vinyl records. You can go into a Best Buy and buy a vinyl record. They're actually in the store. Can't buy a movie. They don't sell those anymore in the store. And Mike Def says, sadly, there's not much we can do to stop this. But what we can do is fight towards our digital rights. And, you know, the thing there is we could, but we don't want to do what it takes to stop this from happening. That's a lot of things. You know, kind of like, you know, the AI infrastructure rollout. Oh, there's nothing we can do to stop it. So we might as well just get on board. That's, you know, when you hear that phrase, there's nothing we can do to stop it, so you might as well get on board. That is basically saying exactly what you can do to stop it. Because the person telling you that gave up because they're already on board. They want you to get on board because if you don't get on board, it may stop it. That is what stopped NFTs. I don't know if you realize that. How much do we talk about NFTs anymore? Did you know that what they said in 2019 is NFTs are the future? You better get on board. You can't stop NFTs, so you better get on board. And then people didn't get on board. NFTs stopped. All we have to do is not get on board with it, and then it will stop. That's, in fact, what a lot of the CEOs, especially in AI, they are very upset at people not getting on board because they can't function unless you're on board, and so many people are not being on board with it. So, yes, there is something we can do to stop it, but not enough of us are going to want to do it. SJ and Matt also brings up something that I wanted to bring up, and that is, my nephews are getting my classic game collection, putting that in the will. So that is something that I have talked about before, and it is still going through the... So this is not settled law, and it is still going through the courts, although some courts have already ruled on this, but they're lower courts. Because somebody has actually gone through and sued Valve because they were the beneficiary in the will of their fathers or parents or relatives, or it doesn't even matter. They were the beneficiary in the will. You don't have to be related to get bequeath something in a will. The executor of the will has to grant it, and that doesn't need to be a member of the family. So let's not assume that. But they were bequeathed in the will the deceased person's Steam library. Valve refuses to give them access to the Steam library because it is not an asset. And so the way that goes, everybody else goes. So far, the courts have sided with Valve, but it hasn't gone all the way up to an appeals and anything like that. And you will find this if you ever, hopefully you don't have to deal with this for a long time, but you will find that like the digital accounts, like the banking account, the bank will shut it down once the person is deceased, even if you were using it to pay bills. Because that is not transferable for any reason, including death. To Valve, once the person dies, the account goes away. You cannot bequeath it, but you can bequeath those game discs. You can inherit game discs. I inherited a whole bunch of Laserdisc movies. And yes, they still play. There's not that much disc rot on them. But I inherited all those. But I couldn't inherit my dad's Amazon movie library. I couldn't inherit his Kindle library, even though he bought a whole bunch of books on Kindle. When my dad passed away, I mean, now, 13 years ago, so I'm totally fine. But I could not inherit his Kindle library. It was gone. Pod Culture says this will be a prime time for Xbox to jump in and say, but we will still do it. I can't see them doing it, though. No, they're not. In fact, there is a story that I don't have in the show roll where they are trying to do something where you can basically get a digital copy of your physical disc because I'm pretty sure the next Xbox also is not going to have physical media. They're already going this way. PlayStation just happened to announce it formally first, and Xbox hasn't formally announced it, but they're doing something to where you can basically put your disc in once. It will store a digital license for the disc, and then it's yours. Now, the thing is about that is there is questions about how they make that work in their eyes, because I do believe, at least in the Xbox One and up era, each disc has its own serial number. So you can't do that and then sell it. Like, the next person then can't use that disc. I don't think that has been baked out. I don't think it's been, like, there's no real FAQ about it. There is, there was just rumors that they were talking about this. But, like, every Switch cartridge also has a unique serial on it. So there is it knows the unique one. And so Switch could, Nintendo can lock out that cartridge for anybody but the cartridge owner, or the original owner, which is within, according to their terms of service and according to their end user license agreement, they're allowed to do. Is that legal? Hasn't happened in the courts yet. No court case has happened yet. No lawyers taken up the case. Nobody's actually brought an action against Nintendo because it hasn't affected anyone yet. S. Jeremy Matt says, I was already annoyed with Sony for killing their putting single-player games on PC scheme. This physical media thing has really soured me on getting a PS6 and possibly another Sony product in the future. And, I mean, the PC is... When was the last time we had a physical game on a PC? Like, Valve killed the physical PC market. I think probably 2014 might have been the last, like, physical PC release. And even then, you had to, like, then, you know, attach the key to a Steam account. Questbuster says, most anyone born in the last 20 years won't remember how creative the packaging manuals and extras that used to come with PC games were, or the cool documentation that accompanied titles like Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy III USA, which is 6. It's all digital now, with the lion's share of worldwide revenue coming from mobile titles like Genshin Impact or Monopoly Go. Here's how you can think about that if you don't know what we're talking about. Look at the collector's editions of today. That used to be what we got for the base price. Oh, you got an art book. Yeah, we had a book that had art in it and also told you how to play. You would get some other things. Yeah, sometimes you'd get some other things, especially Infocom games. You would get, they were called feelies because you could feel them in your hand. That's why they were called feelies. You would just get a bunch of random stuff. And that's like the collector's edition of today. That was just the regular version of the game back in the day. But as our anonymous Discord user said earlier, that makes you a hoarder. And it's up to the corporations to stop you from doing that. So anyway, digital stores are the future. We have innovated with digital stores, so you're going to be able to buy those games no matter how long until it gets innovated away. And so PlayStation, on the same day, on the exact same day, in fact, on the announcement, they had a line on the bottom saying, for our other announcement regarding this, click here. On the same day, PlayStation put out another announcement. After nearly two decades of supporting the PlayStation 3, we want to let you know we will be closing the PlayStation Store on PS3 as well as on the PlayStation Vita. PlayStation Store on PS3 will close in select markets starting this year, followed by global closures for PS3 and PS Vita next year. That means new content purchases will no longer be possible once the PlayStation Store closes on these devices. To ease the transition, players will still be able to download previously purchased content after the closing date for the foreseeable future, but not forever. As the PlayStation Store continues to evolve to support modern commerce systems, remember, evolution, innovation, including updated payment processing standards, PS3 and PS Vita are no longer support these updates at the level required. As a result, we will need to close the PlayStation Store on these devices in the time frame as possible. So, in Mike Deft country, Mexico, Honduras, and Nicaragua, it will close on August of 2026, so next month. Additional Latin American and Middle Eastern countries, it will close in late 2026. And all other countries, it will PS3 and Vita will close in July of 2027, so 1 year from now. We know this news may be disappointing to PS3 and PS Vita players who hold a special place in their hearts for this generation of gaming. PS3 and PS Vita represent an important era in our PlayStation history, so it was not an easy decision for us to make. So you are just going to have it as a memory, unless you bought things physically, because they still absolutely supported the physical market in PS3 and PS Vita. But think about when the PlayStation 6 launches. Let's say the PlayStation 6 launches in 2030. Just ride this out. And let's say that there is somebody who is... Let's say somebody was born in 2020. So let's say they're 10 years old when the PlayStation 6 comes out. So the PlayStation 6 is the dominant console during their formative teen years. There's no physical media. It is all digital. And the formative games of their life are on the PlayStation 6. And they bought it digitally because that's all they know. Because they're 6 years old right now. They're going to be 8 years old when digital media is not a thing. They're not going to know what they're missing, because when in their teenage years, it's going to be the PlayStation 6. Then 2050 comes around. I know I'm making a big assumption that we're all still going to be here in 2050, but go with me here. 2050 comes around. This person is now 30 years old. Sony then says, you know what? We have supported the PlayStation 6 digital marketplace for 20 years. We're now going to close it. And then something happens. You have a midlife crisis. I want to go back to my childhood. I want to play those games of my childhood. You can't. Because Sony shut it down. Because maybe in 2050, they'll be like, you know what? No. We're not going to let you re-download your old purchases. You're not going to be able to buy a PS6 and get your old stuff. We're shutting that down. We supported it for 20 years. Where have you been? Orange Wright says, you can play The Last of Us remastered. And Questbrother says, that PlayStation 9 commercial that used electronic spores to enter your head seems almost prophetic at this point. Was that PS2 or PS3 that they did the PS9 commercial? That was a PS2. Thank you. Thank you, chat. So they are going to be closing. And they're like, we supported it for 20 years. What more do you want from us? Well, at least for the PS3 and Vita, there's a lot of physical games out there. They won't have all the patches, but a lot in that day, you still pretty much got the finished product on the disc. It really wasn't until the PS4 and Xbox One era that you really started getting games that weren't complete at launch. And one of the things that the corporations will tell you is that this makes it more likely that you will be able to get the quote-unquote full game at launch, because when you have to produce a disc, you actually have to have the game complete like a month before, because that's how long it's the gold master, and then they do all the reproduction. So that's what they're going to tell you, is that, well, now they can have that month and they can be fixing things up until release day. And ZenMonkey11 says, can't they save their games on an SSD and replay them, assuming it's an offline game? Well, I don't know if you have tried, but there are consoles right now. I'm talking to you, Nintendo. Where if you take, like, let's say you did store your digital games onto a SD card, and you take that SD card out of that Switch and you put it in a different Switch, guess what? You cannot access anything. You cannot access anything on that SD card. It is only accessible on the original console it was put on. You have to format it and download everything again. Now, I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure that's not the case right now for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. But don't you think they would do that if they could? Because they can revoke your ownership, because they have told you, you are not owning anything. You are licensing the product from them. You are licensing, and it can be revoked at any time. It is a limited time license that you are paying $70 for. Now, our fictional kid who does, there is a kid that exists that is 6 years old now, because they were born in 2020. But our fictional kid, they're going to grow up. That's going to be normal. Maybe it's us being like, oh, we remember, you know, okay, grandpa, go back to bed. Maybe that's all this is. Maybe, because I think they're going to be okay with it, because it's just going to be what they're used to. And Fifth Dream says that reading the EULA is not required, only clicking. I'm going to pull up one of my favorite quotes. I pull this up all the time. There's probably a drinking game out there that's like, when Bobby brings up this specific quote from Douglas Adams, take a drink. Douglas Adams said in The Salmon of Doubt, Hitchhiking the Galaxy One Last Time, I've come up with a set of rules to describe our reactions to technologies. Number one, anything that is in the world when you're born is normal and ordinary and is just a natural part of the way the world works. Number two, anything that's invented between when you're 15 and 35 is new and exciting and revolutionary, and you can probably get a career in it. And number three, anything invented after you're 35 is against the natural order of things. And I am afraid that with this, I am number three, because I think it is against the natural order of things to not own the media that you have consumed, that you want to own. You don't have to own every piece of media you consume, but if you really like it, you should be able to own it and be able to watch it at any time or experience it at any time. And Tigerclaw says, eventually they'll grow up in a time where they don't have consoles anymore. All games are streamed via a Nintendo, Xbox, or PlayStation app in the future. And that is absolutely what the AI companies want. That's why they are making it too expensive for you to own your own electronics, because they want a future where you don't even have your own electronics. You pay them a monthly fee to access their RAM, because the console makers aren't greedy. The RAM people who are making the RAM, they're like, AI companies are going to pay me more money. So I know we live in a time where consoles get more expensive. That's exactly what the AI bros want you to think, because then it will be better for you to just pay this monthly fee to access the content instead of actually having it yourself. And then if something happens, you lose your job, you just cancel that service, and then you get to consume nothing because you don't have any of yourself. You don't have any of your own. So it's more of a necessity, because what are you going to do? You know, right now, like if I turned off all my services, I have so many movies that I could still watch. In this future, I wouldn't be able to watch any of the movies because I wouldn't be paying that monthly fee. Questbuster says, there's a commercial from a long time ago that still sticks with me. In it, parents give their daughter a camera looking at how she likes to take photos, but she holds it up not knowing what it is and asks what she's supposed to do with it and how she's supposed to use it. I mean, you can always also find, like, you know, sometimes kids, that they'll get like a magazine and they will try to pinch and zoom or scroll. They won't actually turn the pages because they do all their reading on a screen, on a tablet. So, what does this mean for archiving? And this news, like a lot of companies came out and were like, oh, you know, they're kind of clowning on it. But then you've got what the Video Game History Foundation had said. And PC Gamer reports that with Sony driving another nail in the coffin of physical video games today, remember Grand Theft Auto 6 last week announced they're not releasing a physical version at all. So they're ceasing production of PS5 discs in 2028. And by the way, one thing to note is you're going to be like, well, limited run games will still release. No. Sony manufactures every single PS5 disc. So even if a third party wanted to release a PS5 game physically, they would not be able to. They would not be allowed to, because Sony controls the manufacturing. And Sony is getting rid of the manufacturing. So it's not just Sony first party games. Nobody is getting PS5 discs. Limited run games will not be able to release physical editions of PS5 games after January 2028. The future of the leading video game console in total digital licensing, and according to the director of the Video Game History Foundation, that means the future of preservation for the moment must be piracy. S. Jerry Matt says they've already allocated that plant that makes the discs to other things. They've already reassigned staff. So they're already winding down disc production. They're going to stop disc production in 2028, but they're already going to make less discs than they used to. It's going to be a lot harder to find physical editions of games in the future. But anyway, according to responding to a Blue Sky post calling piracy the only extant form of media preservation that exists in games right now, Frank Cifaldi, who is the director of the Video Game History Foundation, which does a lot of great work, agreed. Says, quote, as a director of a historical video game preservation institution and someone who has dedicated his entire adult life to this cause, this is accurate. We have attempted to work with the industry's trade organization to find a legal path forward, but they refuse to offer a meaningful alternative, unquote. In a later statement, Cifaldi expanded on his criticism of the industry working against legal means of preserving its own works, while also noting that today's development is hardly a surprise. And he says, quote, museums and archives have been preparing for this future for a while with the expectation that putting discs on a shelf isn't going to be a long-term solution for preserving new games. What continues to baffle us is that the industry expects institutions like ours to do about it. If platform owners are deciding to eliminate physical media and older digital storefronts, then we'd also like to see trade groups like the Entertainment Software Association offer meaningful solutions for archives and museums to legally preserve digital-only content and make it accessible for research. Everyone agrees this is a serious problem, but the ESA has repeatedly opposed the efforts of cultural heritage institutions to reform digital copy protection laws to make it easier to do this work, unquote. And this is, we've talked about this before, there are so many limitations for video games in archival and museum and research. And it's the Entertainment Software Association that has been leading that opposition. because they say that it is the position of the Entertainment Software Association that this is not art. There is art involved, but this is not art. This is a consumer product. And since it is a since video games are consumer products, they should not be preserved in the same way art would. And they are afraid that somebody will enjoy playing the game while under the guise of research at the library. That is the ESA's official statement. They actually do not want... They are fine with people researching, but they are afraid somebody might enjoy the research. Now, some other Blue Sky user was actually saying, you know, oh, no, they are all preserved because in order to get a copyright from the U.S. government, you need to provide them a physical version. And it's actually not the case. I was looking into this a little bit. To be able to do that, you don't actually need to provide the entire game to get it copywritten under the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. And it can even be as little as they want you to print out the first 10 pages of code and the last 10 pages of code. And that gets you the copyright. You do not have to send them the full game. They do not have a copy of the full game or anything like that. They've got some pieces of paper that have code on them, and that is what gives the copyright. If buying isn't owning, then piracy isn't stealing. If that's what museums have to do and archivists will need to do, then that's what they need to do. And the thing that is a shame is that we've already seen this with TV and movies and stuff. And, you know, I had a realization a couple years ago because I lost, because of the innovation of the network around me, I could no longer keep my TiVo. Which was basically the first DVR, the first brand name DVR. It was even like a verb. It became a verb like Googling something or Kleenex or anything like that. It was you TiVo'd it. It's not the verb anymore because TiVo is pretty much irrelevant now. But the TiVo had a hard drive and I could record to that hard drive and that hard drive was in my house and I could watch whatever I wanted on it. And it didn't matter how long ago I had recorded it. If I had recorded it, I had it. So, unfortunately, the network evolved, and because the requirement, the FCC requirement, the cable companies still service what's called a cable card system, since that regulation was removed in, like, 2018, they no longer had to support TiVos. They were no longer legally required by the government to support TiVos. So I dumped my cable provider, and I now have Fubo, which is it's an app. It is still a linear TV cable service, and it has cloud DVR. But the thing about this cloud DVR, and all of them basically do this, is that they don't retain things forever. You have unlimited storage, but after 9 months, it gets deleted, whatever you recorded. And it is so much easier to have and keep and watch a local news broadcast from 30 years ago than it is to watch one from a year ago. Because let's say, I actually found these, I have VHS tapes of when I happened to be in the background of a news broadcast and 30 years ago. And I was able to have that tape, I put it in the VCR and I actually watched it. I'm like, why do I have this random news broadcast? Oh, there's me. There's me right there. I was behind the reporter, and we recorded it, and for whatever reason, we still saved it. But if that happened to, you know, a kid a year and a half ago, and the parents recorded it on their Fubo DVR, that recording was gone. It was removed 9 months ago because it only stayed up there for 9 months. It's gone. They're never going to get it back. And there was no way for them to transfer it to something because that is against the terms of service of Fubo. You can't transfer that recording to something else. Now, there are ways to do it if you are technically savvy. But if you're not technically savvy, there's no way to do it. Whereas if you weren't technically savvy, in the 80s or 90s, you still figured out how to put a tape in the VCR and set it to record. And then that tape still works today. Isn't the game industry fun? Isn't it fun to talk about the game industry? Hey, I spoke for a whole hour on this. Amazing. So, normally I do a music break. I actually had like a PlayStation 1 queued up, but it's fine. It's no big deal. And normally I take calls, but I've already been going for an hour. I don't want to have the podcast go longer than an hour, even though I will tell you that Orange Lounge Radio 2DX, unfortunately, is not going to be going on tonight. We are not going to be having them. Unfortunately, Jamie... let's see, I'm getting the official statement from the Discord and from social media, is having a flare-up of a chronic condition, makes it really difficult to function effectively. So, Jamie, please take care of yourself. Get well soon. Everybody will still be here next week when Orange Lounge Radio 2DX returns. So if you're waiting for Orange Lounge Radio 2DX, I am sorry to say it's not going to happen tonight. And this was a very last minute. They had planned all day to be here to be on the air with you. And I had learned it about 45 minutes before I went off the air, they called it. So this was absolutely not a premeditated decision. They had planned as early as a couple hours ago to still have the show. So send all your good thoughts to Jamie as she deals with it. It really sucks having to deal with all that stuff. But as you get older and as, you know, things happen, this is something that we have to deal with as we get older. So, yeah. All right. So that is going to be it for me. Because there is no Orange Lounge Radio, we're going to open up marbles. We're going to play some marbles on stream here, and then we'll raid someone. So, I figured let's try to have some fun. Let's play some happy music and, you know, have some fun while we still can, with that digital only copy of marbles on stream. So, yeah. So thank you so much for being here. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with us here directly. And you can also find me on Blue Sky at Bobby Black Wolf, Instagram at Bob, or Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com. I do not have the B Sky social thing. I actually have it .com. And I'm on Instagram at Bobby Black Wolf, or you can join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. And you can talk back, or, you know, give me things that you want to bring up on a story that we'll be talking about, or maybe bring up things that you want me to talk about. And I may or may not do them. I did not cover the fact that Hideo Kojima apparently predicted in 2021 this was going to happen. You know, I didn't cover that this time, but you can find the story on our Discord server. So, yeah. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without the people who go above and beyond. We had some hype trains last week. It was great. It was amazing. It was Orange Lounge Radio's birthday or anniversary. It was great. So a lot of stuff came in. So I completely understand that people are tapped out, and that is totally fine. Because, you know what, the price of games keep going up, and now that they're taking away the cheap way to get games, I can understand that you have to save the money and can't do much more. But I appreciate you being here. That is all that we ask. So thank you so much for those of you that are here and have stuck with us. And yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and hit the button and get out of here. We will be doing some marbles on stream for the live folks. So stick around for that. And yeah. I will see you next week. I wish we would have some happier news. Let's make it happen. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.